valuable information. And would you welcome Pastor Carl and Brenda Crames as they come share the word with us this morning. Awesome.
Thank you, Pastor Bill, so much for that introduction. We do love each other, and yes, it's been a work in progress. We were definitely not perfect when we were married, and we're still a long ways from it, but we hope we can help you today. We do have, in your worship guide, if you didn't get one, we have a little sheet that you can fill in the blanks. You're going to follow along with us. We're going to talk today about the five love languages, and there's been a book written on it. Some of you may have written it before. If you didn't get a fill-in-the-blank sheet in your bulletin, the ushers are here. If you'd raise your hand, they'll give you one right now. They're coming down the aisles. So Brenda and I are really thankful for this opportunity to speak again on what's known as the five love languages.
Vicki needs one, please. Yes, indeed. As like Pastor Bill said, you know, whether you're married or single, an adult or child, you have a love language. And basically, that's how you want people to speak to you and to have a relationship with you. It's what fills your tank. It's what makes you feel good about yourself.
Yes, and discovering your own love language is not difficult at all. In fact, we have some simple quizzes that you can take home with you after the service. They'll be out there in the lobby. There's a special little table. It doesn't matter if you're married, not married. There's even one for children and singles. So you don't have to be married. There's a specific one in each category, one for singles, one for children, and one for married. So be sure to pick one of those up, and you can take the quiz when you go home and discuss them with your significant other.
Yeah, it's really a short quiz, and they're out there on that little black table in the lobby. And we did this Friday night with our young adult group. We call it the College Career Looking for Work group. And so we did that, and we had a great time. We found out a lot of things about each other we didn't know, you know, because some people are quiet, and you don't really know what their love language is. So it was really cool to find that out on Friday night.
Absolutely. We had a lot of fun with that. So let's get started. Now, here's your first fill-in-the-blank. One of life's biggest challenges is discovering the love language of people you care about and then loving them the way they need to be loved. Mm-hmm. They need to be loved.
That's the challenge. It's like we often use our own love language and we're upset when somebody doesn't receive it. We're like, you know, what's your problem? I did this and this and this for you, but yet that's not what they need in their personal life from you. So the challenge is finding that out. So our next fill in the blank is being able to discern a person's love language is needed at home, at work, at school, and especially in your Victory Church small group. Ah, you knew we were going to plug small groups, right?
Yeah. So let's jump right in. Now, the first love language is quality time. And on your fill in the blank there, it says quality time is more than mere proximity. It's about focusing all your energy on the recipient. Nothing says I love you like full undivided attention. With the TV and the cell phone off, all chores and tasks on standby. And now this makes your family member or your friend feel truly special and loved.
And amen. Somebody who this love language belongs to, they don't like you multitasking while you're spending time with them. In other words, you know, they don't want you reading the paper or cleaning your kitchen. They want you to focus on them. You know, sometimes you do activities together, but sometimes they, you know, they need full attention and they don't appreciate it, you know, and they don't feel loved if you're distracted. And I personally think that this is Jesus's main love language, God's love. Love language, because he loves to spend quality time with us. And you think about the story of Mary and Martha, you know, and Mary was at his feet having that quality time, and Martha was the acts of service, and yet that was how she expressed her love. But Jesus said, Mary chose the greater thing. So we have to think about that. I know I'm guilty of that. A lot of times I'll be distracted, and I'll be doing things while I'm thinking about the Lord or spending time with him, and he just wants me to listen. And so we have to be mindful of that with other people as well.
Yeah, and if you think about that, Jesus didn't rebuke Martha for doing acts of service. It was just more important in the relational part of quality time. So acts of service, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. All right, now, quality time does require deep, heartfelt conversations and activities that promote sharing your experiences, your thoughts, your feelings. So being distracted or postponing dates or breaking your promises can be hurtful for this love type, especially when they're children.
Carl gets high marks in this love language, and I think if it were possible, he'd want me to go everywhere with him and be involved in every detail of his life and everything that he does. And he doesn't like to watch movies alone. Like, no matter how many times Chariots of Fire's on, it's like the 50th time, he's like, Brenda, Chariots of Fire's on. And I'm like... And he loved, this is the good part, this is what women are jealous of me about. He loves planning getaways together.
Yes, I do. In order to spend quality time with someone, you also need to learn how to be a quality communicator. You must learn to be in touch with your emotions and your inner feelings and be able to put them into words and then share them with your...
I really have to commend my son Robert and Jessica with Lily and Luke. They've done a great job with this. Right around 2 or 3, you know, when they're beginning to learn verbal skills. They were so patient with them, and like if they were frustrated and they couldn't say anything, like with Luke, they'd say, Luke, use your words, and he would sit and think, and he would put it into words, and he and Lily are both really accomplished in being able to communicate with adults, you know, what they're feeling because of that, and I really admire them and appreciate, you know, that they do that with our grandchildren.
Amen. Now, our next love language is physical touch. And your fill in the blank there says, a person whose primary language is physical touch is not surprisingly very touchy. Hugs and pats on the back, holding hands and thoughtful touches on the arm, the shoulder, or their face. They can all be ways to show your concern, your care, and your love for somebody.
Now, this is Carl's primary love language, and he likes me to sit close to him. He likes to hold my hand in public. And in fact, I found this video that we're going to bring up, and it pretty much describes Carl. He's a bilingual. He has quality time and touch, so just watch this little clip.
Darling, you found me. A sweet. A clever. We will never part again. Hello, baby.
Pepe Le Pew doesn't have anything on me.
That's right.
Oh. Oh. All right, now physical touch fosters a sense of security and belonging in any relationship, but touch must be appropriate. Mm-hmm. In professional, church, and social settings, there are strict sets of rules for physical touch. A pat on the back, a high five for many colleagues to make them feel encouraged and admired. Shaking hands or offering a needed object such as a pencil or a tissue, these are all appropriate behaviors that you can choose from.
Mm-hmm. And we had fun with this Friday night as well. We were instructing Roosevelt, you know, who's a great hugger. We were showing him, come up here, Roosevelt, and show them how you hug of an opposite sex. All right, that is appropriate touch. Okay. A person whose love language is physical touch often prefers a high five or a fist bump to, you know, advice or commenting on what they want. You know, they're more like, don't tell me what to do, just give me a hug, please, please. And so it's different for everybody. You know, what is pleasing to one person isn't for another. So that's part of the discovery process of figuring out what ministers, you know, to another person. You can call it a dialect if you want. How does that person speak in this particular method of communication?
Thank you, Brenda. The next love language we're going to cover is words of affirmation, or you could say words of encouragement, but words of affirmation. These are kind, encouraging, and positive words that are truly life-giving. Hearing the words, "I love you," is important to everyone, but this love language goes into further detail and may ask, "Yes, but why do you love me?" For this love language, and your blank there next, is actions don't always speak louder than words.
Mark Twain once said, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." And isn't that true? How many of you like to hear good comments towards you? We found that in doing these tests that people, just about everybody, scores high in words of affirmation. It may not be your primary one, but we all love encouraging words when people, you know, say something to us. And even though it's not my primary love language, I really like to think about nice things that people say to me. Nancy just said something really lovely to me during our little greet time today. And so I'll be living off that for a couple of weeks. And thank you, Nancy, for being an encouragement to me.
Yes, and simple statements like, "You look great in that outfit."
Thank you.
Oh.
You look pretty awesome yourself. He's spiffy, spiffy today, isn't he? Yeah.
Or, "You're so talented," and she is, "that I can never have remodeled that house. And I really appreciate you, Brenda. You have done an excellent job on the house."
Aww, thank you. I appreciate you working so hard and making money for me to spend. Now, words of affirmation can also offer encouragement, like Carl said, you know, like Claudette is awesome at this. If you call someone if they're having a tough time, or even text them when you think about them, you know, and just let them know that they're special, and tell them to keep up the good work, and you know, even just asking somebody for their opinion on something that you're doing, that'll minister to them and be very encouraging for them.
That's right. Offering encouraging words of affirmation often helps someone to overcome insecurities and develop greater confidence. Insults can leave this love type shattered, and hurtful words are not easily forgotten. So I want to tell a little story here that will help you with people. We found out in our tests that we were giving our college group that typically if you were high in quality time, you were also high in words of affirmation. They're kind of like twins. They go together. And we're talking about what your love language is, but you need to be aware what other people's love languages are, and you have to, no matter what it is, you need to be a good listener. And I had probably what would have been diagnosed today as ADD when I was, you know, growing up, and I still have to work through that. But in the mid-80s, there was a young man in our church. His name was Bill, in our church in Baton Rouge, and Bill was one of these guys that was a godsend to me, and I suppose for other people too. Bill just loved to come to me before and after the service and just talk. And he would talk about something I had no interest in, and he would take a subject that I would normally describe in one sentence, and he would take 10 minutes to explain it. And so I was getting frustrated because I was not a good listener. And God just really spoke to me, says, "I listen to everything everybody says all the time, including you. You need to listen to Bill." And I said, I really felt convicted. And so I started to focus on Bill, to focus on what he was talking about, even though it was not anything I wanted to talk about. I focused on him, and I said, I started to see and learn how to listen to people and listen to what they have to say. Now, I'm not perfect in it, but I had a breakthrough then. And I, you know, I'd still cut people off, but I've come, if you knew me in the 80s, you would say, yeah, he's come a long way. So, but you know what? If I don't listen to him, and we don't listen to people like Bill, how are we going to give them a word of affirmation if we're not even listening to what they have to say? So we need to listen to people, and we listen. God will show you something about that person, and you can encourage them in whatever they're doing, or maybe they have a gifting, and you discern a gifting in them. You say, well, I can tell you're really good in this, Bill, or Jennifer, or John, or whoever it might be. So that really changed my life. So in all of these giftings, we have to learn to listen to people, so that you can affirm what they have.
That's right. That's right, honey. And Carl has been so good for me to help me with insecurities I had in my life. And I don't know, I guess it's part of being the third child or something. You know, you come with lots of complexes by the time you grow up. But he's always so complimentary, and he even complimented me today already and with people, telling them how wonderful I am. And so I'm just really thankful for him. You know, his mother's here today. She did a good job with him.
Well, our next love language is acts of service. I ask this question. Can vacuuming the floors really be an expression of love?
Absolutely. Right, Rebecca?
Well, anything you do to ease, this is your next fill in the blank up there, anything you do to ease the burden of responsibilities weighing on acts of service person will speak volumes. This is Brenda's primary love language. Acts of services is hers. The hard part is getting her to take a break from projects and helping others and then get some downtime.
That's downtime with you, right? Yes. Yeah. The words we acts of service people most want to hear is, can I help you with that? Yes. And can I get a big amen for that for all you acts of service people? For us, when somebody breaks a promise or they thoughtlessly create more work for us, we see that as disrespect and just not really valuing our time. So you have to be sensitive. They work, and they don't really expect much praise, but they can get to a point where they feel abused that you're taking advantage of them. So you have to be mindful of that and remember to give them words of affirmation and thankfulness with that as well.
Yeah, it makes them feel important. It does. And the final love language is receiving gifts. Mm-hmm. Now, don't mistake this love language for your next blank, Phil, and it is materialism. Don't mistake it for materialism. These individuals thrive on the smallest expression of love and the thoughtful effort behind the gift.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, these people, receiving gifts people, they don't want you to just throw something together and give it to them. They want something that you took time and you thought about them. You know, it can just be like a pack of their favorite gum. You took the time to notice what they like and you picked it up. Rebecca's really good at that. And Jan's good at that. There's lots of ladies in this church that are really good at that. And the other day, Jessica was over at Trader Joe's and she picked me up a little pot of daffodils, and it blessed me so much for two reasons. One, because she knows that that's my favorite flower, and two, because she was thinking of me when she picked it up and brought it to me, and so that just really blessed me with that. So even though that's not like my primary gift, I think we all enjoy getting gifts that minister to our particular love language.
Yeah, and I want to add something here because some of the people in our group on Friday night scored very low in that. And it doesn't say that you don't like gifts. For example, I scored a zero. But today we're offering the growth track is 301, which you'll discover your different gifts, which is not just love languages. There's practical gifts. I mean, you like to use your hands. Are you administrative? Do you like to work with kids? And it will tell you some of your spiritual gifts. And one of my top spiritual gifts is giving. I love to give. So just because I don't like to receive gifts, it's not that I don't like to receive them. It's that in comparison to quality time or to touch or words of affirmation, which I score high in, I don't care that much about gifts compared to that. Now, if you want to give me a gift certificate to Bonefish, or even better, to Embers, I'll love that. I'll take that. But actually, on the quiz, you get each question gives you, do you like one thing or the other thing more? And I just like spending time with her more.
Yes. Oh, so. Thank you. You know, it really helped me a lot when I read over what he circled on there. It's just a two-page form. It's very simple. It'll take you, you know, a couple minutes at the most. But when I was reading through, I finally understood him about gifts. You know, for years, I'd be like secretly listening at Christmas time. What's he want? You know, I'd just spend so much time trying to find it. And then I'd get it to him, it'd be less than overwhelming. He'd be like, oh, thanks. And I'd be like, I want words of affirmation. I work really hard on trying to figure that out. And I figured it out finally. He always likes socks. Anybody know somebody like that? You can just get him a pair of socks. Or better yet, you know, just have him make a list at Christmas. He doesn't care about being surprised. It's like, yep, I got that. I got that. Thanks. That's good. That's good. So it helped me because I'm like, don't you love that gift? And I worked so hard. And he's like, yeah. I think you need to take that one back. It's like, it doesn't fit. So anyway, it helps me a lot. Even after all the years we've been married, you can always find out something new about your spouse.
Yeah. Well, and I do actually like receiving gifts. And I think most of us do. It's just in comparison to other things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we've given you a lot of information today. And like we said, the quizzes are in the back. And it just takes a lot of time and effort to invest in people. And see, that's what God does with us. He invests his time in us. So that's how we show the love of Christ to other people. And it doesn't need to be superficial. And we have a clip that we're going to show now that shows you somebody that didn't quite get the teaching as we have it today.
Santa should be here any minute.
Come on now. Is Santa even real?
You can't doubt Jason, otherwise you don't get presents.
Santa!
Oh, hello,
Santa.
Kids.
I hope I got the My Little Pony I wanted.
Did you get the PlayStation I want?
Hey, Santa, if you're real, then where are all the presents?
Well, you see, kids, I really wanted to go the extra mile this Christmas, so I analyzed each of your love languages.
Love languages?
For example, Mallory, your love language is words of affirmation. So, here is your gift.
Your hair is the most beautiful hair within at least a 1 mile radius. But we're in rural Kansas. There's no one else in a 1 mile radius.
Whitney! Your love language was acts of service.
Okay.
So I donated all of your gifts to charity. Don't you feel a lot better?
Technically, yes.
Stephen, my boy! Your love language was quality time. So? I'm glad we did this.
Hey, what about me?
Oh, Jason, your love language actually was receiving gifts. So here is a skateboard. And an iPod. And a vacation to Hawaii. And why don't you take this PlayStation as well? I'm sure that he doesn't want it anymore.
Kids, what are you doing down here? You don't want Santa to see you.
Herman Jones, your love language was physical touch. You're welcome. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Well, Santa didn't quite get it, did he? But don't worry, I'm sure he's going to figure it out before next Christmas. We're going to send him a copy of this teaching today, and so he should have it all figured out by next Christmas. But like we were saying earlier, we just need to go deeper in our relationships with people, and that's why small groups, and especially the life group, is so awesome to help you to see and understand yourself and to get healing, you know, in different areas. And, well, you know, the point we were making earlier is everybody likes to get gifts. And if you're one of those people that likes to receive gifts, you've already noticed this basket down here and you're wondering, is that for us? And the answer is yes, you all get Valentine's. We're going to have the ushers come here and they're going to hand these out to you. Thank you. Thank you. So, if you have quality time or acts of service, you're going to appreciate all the effort that went into each of these, making these. Actually, Jessica and Lily and even Carl helped me make these. And Luke tasted everything and made sure it tastes really good. And words of affirmation will like the scripture, and they'll appreciate the love expressed by the card. And touch lovers will feel warm and fuzzy as they open the chocolate. And people who scored zero in receiving gifts will say, at least there's chocolate to eat.
Well, as you're still getting those, I have a couple more comments. We're all wonderfully made, aren't we? And sometimes along the way, our love languages can get lost in hurts and unfortunate circumstances. And we can lose our self-worth. We can also lose our effectiveness. And sometimes this can make a person who goes through these disappointments, they can seem demanding of others. They can have realistic expectations of people, especially those they're close to. So one of the solutions that we really want to plug in, and we're so proud of you guys out there that are doing life groups. Life groups stands for Living in Freedom Every Day, the word life. And it's not too late to jump into one, by the way. We have like five or six of them going, five. And so for different age groups. And so that gives you an opportunity to kind of go through your past and understand God's purpose in your life and forgive those and be healed of those who've hurt us. As we've all, everybody in here, I guarantee you, has gone through rejection. Everybody, because that's just in the world. So life groups can help you with that. So we want to encourage you, if you haven't gone through one, talk to Brent and I. We'll point you to the one that's in your age group, and we'd love to get you in that because it's tremendous. It will help you wonderfully. Now, the best expression of love is esteeming others and focusing, and not focusing, I should say, not focusing on what you lack or what other people have done to you. And that's hard to do. That's easy for me to say, because you might say, Pastor Carl, you do not have a clue how people have hurt me. You don't have a clue how mean I am. Maybe you admit that the problem might be yourself. And it might be because other people have been mean to you. We've all gone through these kind of things. But you know, to better be able to focus on the love languages, which ultimately we want you to focus on somebody else's love language. That's what Jesus did. He said it's better to give than to receive. When you can focus on somebody else and not always be concerned of how hurt you are, then you've had that breakthrough. And God wants us to get there. He's cheering us on to get there. Because that's the way Jesus treated other people. We all want to be like Jesus, right? We want to be like him. You know, and it begins with forgiveness. And so I just want us to bow our heads and for a second here for everybody. And I just want to say to you, let's just make a decision in our hearts right now to forgive those. That doesn't mean you'll forget about it. But it'll become easier and easier to forget about it once we go through forgiveness. So I'm just going to pray a prayer and just agree with me in this prayer. Lord, I just pray right now that we all, and including myself, we would forgive those who've not paid attention to us, those who said mean things to us, those who've done mean events to us. And Lord, we just forgive them. Because, Lord, that's what you did to us at the cross. You forgave us. So, Lord, and right now I just pray for everyone that might have seen through these love language explanations that they were starting to realize what their spouse or their child or their step-parents or their grandparents might have had. And, Lord, I just pray that you give us revelation of what the love languages are that we have, and even so much more what others have, so that we can break down those barriers of hurts and defenses that we've put in our life. So I just break the spirit of rejection and unforgiveness and bitterness off of God's people now in Jesus' mighty name. And if you just keep your heads bowed with me, and you might be here today and you might say, well, Pastor Carl, I've never really experienced the love of God. I don't know. And you might say, well, I've not experienced this love that you're talking about. And that's the ultimate thing, is God's love. That he wants to express himself to you and tell you how much today that he loves you. And you might say, I don't know if I were to die tonight, if I'd go to heaven, where it says in 1 John 5 that, you know, you can know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, because that was a question that the early church asked, and God answered that through the Apostle John. He said that, very simply, he said, he who has the Son, which is Jesus Christ, has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So how do you know? It's just by faith that you know. You express out of your mouth and you say in your heart that Jesus Christ, and you believe this, that he died for you, and by his forgiveness of your sins, you can then receive him into your life and have a relationship with him. You might say, well, I've never had a relationship with God. Well, this is your opportunity. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. And if you fall into that category, or maybe a second category where you say, well, Pastor Carl, I've prayed a prayer to ask Jesus to come into my heart, but I'm really not serving him right now. I don't have a daily relationship with him, and I hear what you're saying, and I want to get back on track. So if you're in either of those two categories and you want me to pray for you, everybody keep their head bowed, and you'll say, Pastor Carl, I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? And I'm not going to embarrass you. I ask you to come up forward if you just say, I need to receive you, or I need to get back on track. Just raise your hand for me, and I'd just like to say a prayer with you. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you. Okay, well, let's just pray this prayer with him. Dear Father in heaven, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. And I believe right now that he died on a cross for my sins, and you raised him from the dead. I turn away from living for myself in any sin, and I ask you to forgive me. And right now, I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. So right now, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you that I now know that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Well, that concludes our message. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a blessed day.